thing that it is. That is why the disciples were by this time amazed. Maybe we better stay with the law. I mean, offering sacrifices in the temple may cost you some money, but that's nothing compared to changing my whole inner attitude, my whole lifestyle, my whole way of thinking. That is too much. I can't do this. But that is the choice you're going to have to make. So the choice is basically this. We either keep our life or we give it. We either be served, and we all by nature like to be served. Just observe how people behave. They all like others to serve them. They don't want to serve others. It's demeaning. It's humiliating. It's going low. It's going down. It's being last. It's being the least of all. That's what the Lord Jesus says here. He that would be chief, be the last, the servant of all. In fact, the Lord Jesus puts this so plainly time and again. In Mark chapter 9, he has already taught the disciples this. And notice how he applies the first last principle in the same way in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, verse 35. And there was this discussion about who is the greatest, as you remember, in verse 34. And then verse 35. And Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Now here gives us the definition what last of all means. It means servant of all. That's exactly what he is saying in chapter 10. To be first is the greatest. To be last of all is to be the servant of all. You've got to make a choice here. You want to be served or you serve? Well, of course I want to be served. That's exactly the problem. Until our whole attitude changes, the kingdom of God will be far away from us. Far away. That is the choice. That is the thing that we have to do. Now look at Christ himself. How did the Lord Jesus live? Look at this passage. Look at the whole life of the Lord Jesus. When I study the life of the Lord Jesus, I am struck by one thing. I can't think of him ever doing anything for himself. He is always doing things for other people, but what did he ever do for himself? Look at the temptation. The whole point of the temptation was to get Jesus to do something for himself. Turn the stone into bread. You are hungry? Turn it into bread. Lord Jesus would not do it. He could do it, but he wouldn't do it. He never did one thing for himself. Can you think of something he did for himself? His whole life was lived for others. Giving. He didn't keep. He just give. His power he used in the service of others. To heal the others. To strengthen the others. To save the others. Always doing something for others. What does he ever do for himself? This is the remarkable character of Christ. So he is asking of us, if you want to be my disciple, and what does a disciple mean but somebody who follows him, who does what he does, we have to change our lifestyle. We cannot be Christians or disciples, which is the same thing in the New Testament, of course, as anyone should know. And anyone who says they're two different things obviously haven't read their Bible. Christian and a disciple is the same thing in the Bible. Get it well. It is the Christians who were called disciples, as the Bible tells us. Disciple was the name for Christians. You are either a Christian and therefore a disciple, or not a Christian, and therefore not a disciple. Now, are you going to follow him? Because no one who is not a follower of Christ can be called a disciple. That means we have to live his own lifestyle. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He that comes after me must take up his cross and follow me. I am going to be crucified. You take up your cross and follow me. Where I go, you come also. Oh, that's no joke. That's discipleship. That is a life. Why did Jesus go to die for? Because he enjoyed dying? Of course not. Nobody enjoys dying. But he came to give his life a ransom for many. It says here in the last verse that we are looking at. To give his life a ransom. To give, you see? To give, not to take, but to give his life. What for? As a ransom. What is a ransom? A ransom is a price that is paid for release. Today we know very well what ransom means. The Iranian people are asking for a ransom for the hostages. You give us a few billion dollars and you got your hostages back. These few billion dollars are the ransom for the hostages. Jesus came to give his life to pay the price of our release, to set us free. Set us free from what? Set us free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the world, but above all, the bondage of ourselves. There is no bondage so bad as the bondage of self. We are slaves to ourselves. That's the problem. And we think we are free. We are not truly free until we are free from ourselves. It's an amazing thing. I wonder if you've ever seen somebody in nervous tension. Have you seen someone in nervous tension? Or somebody coming to a state of mental breakdown? Have you seen it? Have you seen that how you try to help that person and you cannot help that person? Why? Because the person is in bondage and you stand there amazed at the strength, the power of that bondage that that person cannot be free from. I have many times tried to help a person on the verge of mental breakdown. And I have noticed this remarkable bondage. There is nobody tying them. There is nothing external that seems to be holding them. And yet they are in a bondage to themselves because they have an indescribable fear. It cannot be explained. And this fear is eating them away. There is this inner tension. Now you never can get free from that. You cannot be free from that kind of bondage to self. And that is the extreme form of bondage to self when it begins to turn inward upon you to destroy you. You cannot be free from that bondage until you change your whole attitude and lifestyle completely. The whole attitude and lifestyle change. Otherwise, you cannot remedy the situation. You can give the person drugs, which is what the doctors do. The psychiatrist will inject various tranquilizing drugs or make them swallow heavy doses of Valium or other kind of drugs in order to release the sense of tension and the muscular tension that comes with a nervous tension. To dull the mind, to obscure your thinking. But what happens when the drugs go? You're back to the original symptoms again. You're back to square one again. And maybe you try electric therapy, shock therapy, put charges of electricity and shock the whole system up in this way. The bondage to self. I was lately looking at a book by a well-known physician called Hans Selye, who was professor and director of the experimental medicine in the University of Montreal. This Professor Zelia is well known, of course, in his own field as an expert in the matter of stress and tension. And he has written many books on the subject and over 1,000 articles on this. And his popular book is called Stress Without Distress. And the reason I mention this is very interesting, because he, in his long research into the roots of stress, finds that the roots of stress is much more in the attitude, in the mind, than in the body. And therefore, in this book, Stress Without Distress, he points out that the only way to be freed from stress is in fact exactly this, to change your whole mentality, to change your whole attitude. So that though he is not really a psychiatrist, because he's basically a medical researcher, yet he comes to the conclusion that as a result of studying stress in animals as well as in human beings, that there must be a change in man to face the stress of life. Now, stress, what is it, basically? Well, as Hans Selye points out, stress basically comes from selfishness, from a self-centered mentality. The very attempt to be first ends you up in terrific stress and tension. And because you want to be first, it not only creates conflict, as we see here among the disciples, because it creates jealousy and strife, bitterness, competition, but it also creates dissension in the family, as we just noticed, in the nation. Look at the world that we live in. We go from one period of conflict to the next, one period of battle to the next. The only way we can change the situation in the world is to change man. And the only way you can change a man is to change his attitude, his whole way of thinking, the whole direction of his life. Only then do you find peace, the release from stress, the release from anxiety, because the whole course and direction of your life has changed. Now, of course, Hans Selye is no Christian. And he tries to deal, and as a non-Christian, it's very interesting to see how he suggests to change the direction of your life. To change direction where to? Where can you go as a non-Christian? Well, he comes up with this formula called egotistic altruism. Now, you know what egoism is. Egotism is putting yourself first. It is living for me, I. And altruism is the exact opposite. It is living for others. Now, how can you have a combination of these two? Well, he tries to find a compromise in which, of course, the best way is to find some kind of compromise in which you try to live for others for a self-centered reason. Well, he finds that this is the only way he can solve the problem. That is to say, what does he mean by this? Well, he means by this is this: you please other people. And because you please other people, you make lots of friends. And when you make friends and you do nice things for them, then they will be your friends. And in this way, you create a kind of buffer around you. You see, you use these people as a kind of buffer around you. And this way, of course, when enemies want to attack you, you've got a lot of friends on your side. You see? So they will serve as a kind of buffer against the harsh realities of life. So this is very close to the idea of Dale Carnegie, how to win friends and influence people. You see, you win a lot of friends, and they are all around you, and they will serve as a buffer for you. You see? And therefore, this is called, you do these things for them, you are kind to them, you are nice to them, you make friends with them, you give them things, you can say, in a sense, you are serving them and doing all this, but with a selfish reason for it, is that they will then do good things for you as well, like protecting you, like encouraging you, like being nice to you, like saying good things about you. What a great guy you are, you know, I've never seen such a nice fellow. Oh, that's worth all the trouble you've done for them. And this way, you are good to others for a selfish reason. In other words, you are doing these things in order to get a present reward, a reward here and now. It's just working for a reward. It's as simple as that. And this you call altruism. Well, that isn't altruism by definition of the word altruism at all. But this is the way he tries to... But notice that his very attempt is to try to solve the problem of stress, the problem of conflict outside and inside the man. And he realizes that the only way to solve this problem of conflict in man and in the world is that man must change his direction. But he also knows man cannot change his direction because man is by nature selfish. So he tries to make this compromise. Okay, you're selfish, right? But see this point. You live for other people, you do things for other people, and they will be nice to you, they will help you when you're in trouble, and they might even take you for a ride sometimes, they might even invite you for a meal sometimes, and it's so nice to have lots of friends. So, even though by nature you are selfish, do things for other people in order to win friends. And then you will find that also your stress is relieved. This is the whole point. He's writing this, of course, to relieve your own stress. The stress of egotism is now partially relieved, at least, by doing things for other people, by changing the direction of your life. Now, if you don't want to become a Christian, that is your only alternative. That's your only alternative. There's no other way. I mean, if you don't want to be a Christian and you find the price of being a Christian too high, then just follow Hans Selye, wherever he's going. Make a lot of friends around you, and then you have nice fun together, and that takes stress out of life to a great extent. You don't have to worry about people attacking you all the time because you've got all these friends form a buffer around you, and that is a nice way to do it. Now, this, of course, is the only way that a non-Christian can deal with this. That's the only way you can do it. And you can say this is a very practical way because we are by nature selfish, and that is the best solution, a compromise. Well, that will serve very well. I must admit it will serve very well in this life. It will serve, it will work. It will certainly work. Because certainly you can make lots of friends if you like this way of doing things. It's nice to have lots of friends. The problem here is that we are talking about eternal life, not about a buffer state in this world. This is the big difference. Which do you want? Do you want to have a nice buffer state in this world? Then that's the way to do it. Follow Hans Selye's advice, and you will have quite a nice time in this world. And you see what happens in Jesus' case. He gets spit upon, and he gets humiliated, he gets put to death. I mean, that's not a very nice way to do it. It's not a nice way. So the question here you have to decide, and you're still facing a decision. What do you want? Do you want to have a nice time in this world and build your nice, cozy little society around you in this world, or do you want eternal life? That's what the Lord Jesus is talking about. If you are looking for eternal life in God's way of doing things, then you must change your lifestyle. No altruistic egotism or egotistic altruism or whatever you like here. That will not do. That will not do. If you want eternal life. If you don't want eternal life, if eternal life means nothing to you, well, then it's okay. Then you just follow Hans Selye's way. Just keep on being selfish and use that selfishness and motivate that selfishness by making friends with other people so that they can praise you, they can applaud you, they can look up to you and do nice things for you. This seeking of reward here and now is the exact opposite of the Lord's teaching. The Lord's teaching is exactly the opposite of this. The Lord's teaching is saying, do things for other people without wanting any reward, without looking for reward, looking for no praise and nothing in return whatsoever. See, the attitude and mentality, Hans Selye is very honest, of course. He closes his book by saying that, well, he has been extremely selfish in the book, and he is not ashamed of being selfish because he sees that by this means, this is very realistic. He admits frankly that he is selfish, but he uses this selfishness in order to make friends. And he thinks that it is a good way of being selfish, you see. There's a bad way of being selfish and a good way. The bad way is to go and rob a bank, of course. The good way is to make some friends, you see. Yes, it's quite true. It's a good way to be selfish. But the problem here is not the question of whether there's a good way or a bad way to be selfish. The question is here that the Lord requires of us to be self-giving, utterly unselfish. That is the choice we have to make. That is where the difficulty lies. What then is your choice? What is your choice? Presumably you have already made your choice. Maybe you decide to say, I am going all the way with selfishness. Maybe you will decide, well, Hans Selye is more practical. We will just settle for being selfish in a good way. Which I suspect is what the majority will choose in this world, at any rate. Hopefully not in this church, but in this world anyway. The majority will choose some greater or lesser measure of this kind of good selfishness, if you can call it that. But the call of Christ is to discipleship. And to answer that call is the narrow road that leads to eternal life. No form of selfishness, good or bad, will open the gates of eternal life. There must be a change, radical change in lifestyle, whereby I live for others. I give rather than take. I serve rather than be served. I follow my Lord to the end. That is the path of eternal life. Please understand it well. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.